Someone reminded me I once said greed is good. Now it seems it's legal. Because everybody's drinking the same Kool-Aid.
Gordon Gekko, played by Michael Douglas, returning to the big screen in Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps, Oliver Stone's sequel to the 1987 original, where Gekko did indeed say greed is good and created one of the most memorable cultural mirrors of Wall Street excess. We're wrapping up our three-day miniseries about new movies and television series set around places we know. On Monday, we discussed the role of Facebook in The Social Network, and yesterday we dove into HBO's Boardwalk Empire, set in Atlantic City. Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate and co-host of their weekly podcast, The Culture Gap Fest, is back. And also joining us for this is Joe Nocera, New York Times business columnist and author of the Executive Suite blog. Hey, Joe, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Also author of All the Devils Are Here, coming out in a few months.
All right. And we invite you now for a book interview. So we hope you'll join us for that. And Dana, hi.
Hi.
So Joe, without giving too much away about the movie, let's talk plot. It's set in 2008, right as the wave of financial crisis is about to break.
That's right.
And I understand that Gordon Gekko, Michael Douglas's character, spends much of the movie warning about impending doom.
Right, a la Nouriel Roubini, the economist who did, in fact, spend a lot of time warning about impending doom. The difference is Gordon Gekko really wants to get back in the game, and Roubini really thought it was doom and gloom.
And does it get specific? I heard one reviewer say, and I haven't seen the film yet, that, this is an okay movie, but considering that it's set in 2008 and we're still all living with the ramifications of this, that it didn't get specific enough about credit default swaps and the kinds of chicanery that was going on.
Well, that certainly is my take. I'd love to hear what Dana has to say about that. I happen to believe that the events that took place in 2007 and 2008 are incredibly dramatic. And even though they revolve around collateralized debt obligations, credit default swaps, I mean, you had firms trying to stick it to each other. You had Bear Stearns nearly going out of business. You had Lehman Brothers failing. You had the sort of culmination of a decade plus of true greed that got to the point where they just lost all sense of propriety and right and wrong and everything else. And I thought there was a lot of drama in that. Now, I did interview Oliver Stone, as I think you know, and he just said, I don't know how to do a credit default swap on screen. And maybe there's something to that, although I tend to think that if one had tried, you could have done it in a dramatic fashion.
So, Dana, that's a business columnist's take. How about for you as a civilian?
Right. I seem to be defending everything this week, right? I defended The Social Network. I defended Boardwalk Empire. Now I'm going to defend Wall Street a little bit against you, Joe. I read your dissection of the movie and your interview with Stone in the Times, and I really liked what you took apart about the movies, the way it showed the financial crash. But for non-financial wizards like myself, I felt that the movie really got done what it needed to get done, which was cathartically dramatize the fact that we were screwed over. And I think in a sort of crude, broad brush, very Oliver Stone-esque way, the movie is satisfying to watch.
There's also a documentary directed by Charles Ferguson called Inside Job, which comes out on Friday. Is that what viewers expect or should expect to get a real Wall Street lesson, Dana?
I don't think they should expect it from Oliver Stone, because they're not going to get it. They'll be sorely disappointed because the guy is not a deep thinker. But I think he did effectively dramatize some of the things that Joe just described. For example, I think some of the chicanery among banks and the collapse of Bear Stearns is dramatized fairly well.
I guess I know too much. I found his analysis of Bear Stearns annoying. but that, you're right. You're right. I'm a business wonk. And, when somebody says they're taking me down through rumors, I just think, what bull. But that's just me. And I also think that Inside Job, although it is a documentary, and one thing Stone kept saying to me is, you can do this better in a documentary form. Inside Job will make your blood boil, which is really what its purpose is. And in those terms, I think it's a very good movie in terms of, getting people aroused and angered by what has happened to them through the financial crisis.
So what's the purpose of Wall Street 2?
Tell a story, I assume, Dana.
Yeah, I mean, I think the purpose of Wall Street 2 is to begin the process. I agree with you completely, Joe, when you say that the great story, the great movie fictionalization of the 2008 crash has not been made yet, and Oliver Stone hasn't made it. But I think he made a fairly good attempt along the way.
By the way, on our Facebook page this morning, we've been asking our friends if Hollywood does a good job of depicting your job. So, listeners, if you're on Facebook with us, you can answer that question or go to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Joshua wrote, I'm a journalist, and no, I don't think there are many realistic movies about it. All the President's Men, maybe, but I look at something like Veronica Guerin, and I think that's ridiculous. No journalist actually acts like that. Favorite newspaper movie, Deadline USA. It's over the top, but a great mythology of newspapers. Matthew writes, Hollywood has never been about real lives or real jobs. They market an escape from real lives with pretty people and less so smart dialogue and three-act scripts. So,
Shattered Glass is not bad. To the guy who thinks that there's no good journalism movies, I didn't think Shattered Glass was too bad.
Do you have other favorite Wall Street or business sector movies, Joe? Have you thought about that?
What's the one with Judy Holliday and the Golden? It's a really old one where she plays an activist shareholder. The best business movie in a really long time is The Social Network.
Mm.
It's smart. It's sophisticated. It gets at ambiguity. It's something of a morality play. It really kind of explains ambition and entrepreneurship in both good ways and bad ways. I really thought that was the best business movie I've seen in a very, very long time.
That is really interesting. Danny, do you see these two movies as of a piece in a way?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say they're at all of a piece. I think The Social Network is way better and way smarter. I mean, it's not trying to explicitly dramatize, you know, those particular events, but I definitely agree that it's a better portrait of an entrepreneur and a businessman.
And you wrote in The Times about your interview with Oliver Stone that he didn't want to, quote, make a business movie, he told you, because people don't watch those.
Well, that's his line. In general, in the movies, businessmen have become the new, businessmen have always been the bad guys. It's kind of part of how business gets portrayed as a general rule. And Stone has not certainly subverted that technique. I mean, the original Wall Street movie, which I thought, when I went back and looked at it, I was amazed at how realistically it captured the moment. Gecko was supposed to be a bad guy. What happened instead is the portrait was so vivid that Wall Street itself embraced him and wanted to be like him.
And Dana, let's talk about Oliver Stone. In our miniseries about movies set in reality, if it were ongoing, then Oliver Stone's two previous films, W and World Trade Center, would have surely made it into the fold as well. W starred Josh Brolin as George W. Bush in a sort of reimagined biopic, and World Trade Center, of course, was about 9/11. What do you make of that? Is this going to be Oliver Stone's legacy, movies about recent history? And, of course, there are others we could add to that, too, his JFK movie, whatever.
Yeah, your TV analogy isn't bad, Brian. It does seem like Oliver Stone's on some sort of tip now where he's just waiting for some zeitgeisty wave to hit him and then making that into a dramatized movie, a somewhat thinly dramatized movie. But I liked both W and this recent Wall Street in a somewhat indulgent way, I mean, with lots of reservations.
By the way, Joe, the Film History Research Department of the Brian Lehrer Show staff believes that the movie you were thinking of was Solid Gold Cadillac.
That's the one. That is the one.
Judy Holliday, 1956.
That's a sharp staff you got there.
That's just the cinematic history portion of the staff.
She's not exactly Carl Icahn, but she is. She does become a shareholder activist who winds up taking over the company.
By the way, since we're talking an inside baseball kind of movie, I'm going to ask you one inside baseball real-life question, Joe. Gawker is reporting that you might be up for the open job of New York Times magazine editor.
I'm sorry you brought that up. the job was filled last week, and the editor is Hugo Lindgren. And that was announced.
And so we're going to have
to... So your crack staff is good in some areas and maybe perhaps a little weak on their Gawker...
Spending too much time researching film, obviously. All right. Joan O'Shea, business columnist for The New York Times, author of the Executive Suite blog, and the forthcoming book called what?
All the Devils Are Here, The Hidden History of the Financial Crisis.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate, co-host of their weekly podcast, The Culture Gab Fest. Thanks for doing 3 days with us.
It was a great pleasure.
Some media based in places we know. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Alana Casanova Burgess. We had intern help from Alec Hamilton and Sam Dishy. It's a freecountry.org editor, Anna Sale, our senior producer, Megan Ryan, Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.